Friendships involve four things. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week, you're starting to feel overwhelmed by all your duties, obligations, responsibilities, heavy tasks, come on, folks, you gotta laugh. Laughter's the music of the heart. Laughter's pain turned inside out. Laughter's internal jogging. Sometimes the only sense you can make out of life is a sense of humor. You don't stop laughing because you've grown old. You've grown old because you stop laughing. And you don't laugh necessarily because you feel good. You feel good because you laugh, because laughter releases natural painkillers called endorphins. Oh, folks, you gotta laugh. Make sure today, whether making other people laugh and you laugh with them, or being around funny people who make you laugh, have a moment of real, real pleasure by laughter. It's the music of the heart. All right, so I'm talking about friendship today, and I said in the introduction that there are four characteristics of a friendship. Friendship involves four things. That's the way I said it. Let's look at the four things, okay? I'll mention them right away, and then I'll go back and spend a little time with each one. To be a friend is someone who knows where you've come from, accepts you for whom you've become, loves you for who you are, and yet gently challenges you to grow. That's the four parts of a genuine Christian friendship. Let's look at this, okay? A friend is someone who knows where you've come from. They know your history. If you divide the word history, it's his story, her story. We all have a story, and it's a checkered past, because the road to maturity necessarily involves immaturity. And yet a friend is somebody who knows where you've come from, doesn't judge you for your past, knows where you've come from, and appreciates how far you've come, if he or she's a genuine friend. Now, the second thing is this friend accepts you for whom you've become. They're not trying to change you. They're not trying to make you in their own image and likeness. They're not trying to make you a clone of themselves. They accept your unique individuality. They accept your different gifts and theirs. They accept the strengths that you bring to the relationship. They accept you for who you have become. That is such an important concept. Okay? Now, number three. A friend is someone who loves you for who you are. Okay? They're all these three steps that I've shared with you so far, the four characteristics of friendship, they're interrelated, right? There's a thread woven through each one of them. Now, number three is loves you for who you are. Okay? Because who are you? Well, it's something I talk about all the time on the program. You are a beloved son or daughter of the Father. The Father is well pleased in you. God doesn't love you because you're good. You're good because God loves you. God loves you as you are, not the way you should be. God's love is constant, will never change. So, for us to really understand that God loves us who we are, we turn around, and we love those people who God has brought into our lives that we call our friends. We love them for who they are. We accept their idiosyncrasies, but we don't leave it there, right? Because there's one more point to this definition of a friend. And finally, number four, a friend gently challenges you to grow. Because we're meant to be friends, not yes men. Yes, woman. If the friendship is worth anything, then it can handle when a person points out a deficiency, a flaw, a blind spot, and with great tenderness invites that person to move beyond that. A friend is given permission to gently challenge me to grow. That's very scary for lots of people. A lot of people don't want to get involved with that whatsoever. They want to be just get the good housekeeping seal of approval for anything they say or do from a friend, or they accuse a friend of not being always there for them, not having an integrity in the friendship. Now, you know and I know, a real genuine friend will say to somebody, "Do you really think that's the right type of behavior? Are you really proud of yourself the way you act and just talk?" You know, a good friend is one who can turn up the heat on the relationship just enough, turn it up just enough to be able to see how the friend is purified through the criticism, through God working in their life, through God calling them to a deeper, deeper relationship, a deeper conversion, a deeper reconciliation. Now, I heard something once that was very humorous. Let me share it with you. Friends are God's way of apologizing for giving us our family. That's good, isn't it? Or as we used to say, you can pick your friends, you can't pick your family. So friends are God's way of apologizing for giving us our family. And that's humorous, but there's always some truth to humor, right? And so a friend is we have a different relationship with a friend than we do with a family member. The relationship with a family member is by blood, hopefully by love, but sometimes that just doesn't happen. Whereas a friend is a free will voluntary covenant. The family, I don't get a vote in whether I'm born into this family or not. How about your relationship? How about your friendship with Jesus? Do you have a friendship with Jesus? I certainly hope so. If you're listening to this program, I certainly hope you do, and I have to believe you do, or you wouldn't be listening to this program. Now, our friendship with Jesus obviously is not exactly the same as it is with a tangible person who's looking us right in the eye, and we're returning the gaze of friendship, the smile, the handshake, the tap on the shoulder. No, it's not going to be a physical relationship, but nonetheless, this relationship with Jesus can be profound. This relationship with Jesus involves intimacy. Yeah, I'm going to do it again. If you pronounce intimacy slowly, it sounds like into me see. And Jesus has that kind of relationship with us. Many years ago, I memorized a prayer that involved the whole concept of intimacy with God. And I say it with great frequency. If not every day, every couple of days. And the prayer goes like this. Passionate, loving friend, you are a God of relationships, deep affections, and great trust. You invite intimacy and communion. The sanctuary of the heart is your dwelling place. Blessed are you, O tender God. You woo the universe. Count our every heartbeat. Taste our every tear. You, dear God, are the lover we long for, more passionate than any tempest, yet gentle as the breeze. Your love is as persistent as the dawn. No suffering of ours is without your sorrow. No joy of ours is without the echo of your laugh. Your patience awaits our every doubt. Your guidance beckons us in every darkness. You, loving God, gently kiss our every moment. As your touch caresses our weary body, you anoint our struggle with your hope, you dispel our blindness with your light. God, without your intimate love, we are barren, like seed thrown on stones. We are gardens without water, candles with no flames. Gather us to your breast that we might find compassion. In the quiet hear the secret whispers of our life that we might discover understanding. Let your spirit dance with us in the desert, as with your beloved Jesus, woo us into justice, seduce us into your peace. May your love, O God, ignite us, that your song may greet us in the night, and your tenderness arise with us at break of day. For as it is with Christ, so may it be with us. God of my life, be the God of my heart. Boy, isn't that a beautiful prayer? Doesn't what it captures really what the friendship with Jesus is like? You know, Jesus, woo us into justice, seduce us into peace. Gather us to your breasts that we might find compassion. I don't think there's a line in that prayer that does not strike a chord in me as I try to walk my Christian walk when I go one-on-one with God in prayer. And so I want to encourage you to develop a close personal relationship with Jesus. Because I don't know how you're going to survive without it. And a lot of people are not surviving without a close relationship with Jesus. It's not the same as having it with a great historical figure, George Washington, Lincoln. Some people compare that kind of relationship with Jesus. No, no, no. We believe, and I hope you do too, we believe that Jesus Christ is the unique Son of God. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. And it's out of his pouring his life out on the cross for our redemption that any of us is saved. Our prayer partners are the governors of the states, the 50 states of the United States. May each governor get the grace he needs to lead his people. May he give the ability as governor to deal with all the challenges that the state might have, whether it's in the form of population decline, aging, or is it in the form of other problems. But nonetheless, the governors will get the grace of God if they hand their life over to God. Okay, here's our food for thought today. Harsh words break no bones, but they do break hearts. That's exactly right. We all have to watch what comes off our lips and our tongue. Some people speak far too quickly. Some people speak far too harshly. And they do break hearts if they don't break bones. Okay. Small attempt to make you smile or laugh, okay? This is one of those groaners, but I like it. Question. What does St. Peter say to people as they approach the gates of heaven? Ready for the answer? He says, well, hello there. You know, people say, why do you laugh at your own jokes? Well, I find them funny. Hello there. All right. So you want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Why would you contact me? Will you let me know you listen to the program? I love to hear from my listeners. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm sitting here in this room all by myself in front of the microphone recording this program, wondering if anybody listens to the program, wondering if they find the program helpful, beneficial. Could you contact me? Okay? If you don't want to drop me a note, I understand. I'll tell you in a moment how you can do it through email, if you do email. But if you're going to drop me a note, it's Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. You can also send me your prayer intentions. You can let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. And if you give me a check, God will bless you. A check to help me keep my hospital for the poor open in Oaxaca, Mexico. Make that check out to TASH, Inc. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee. God of glory.